Questions for Jesus series this week. We're looking at, why did you make me? Why did you make me? Why did you create me, God? And as we come before the Lord this morning, I want to encourage you to really think about this. And I know most of us have thought about this issue in our lives. And we might ask these questions. Why was I ever born? Anybody ever ask that question when you're in the stillness of the night? Why did you make me? Or maybe we might say, why did you make me like this? Probably the gain needs to be turned down. We have a little bit of a ring there, don't we? Why was I ever born? Why am I here? What is my purpose on earth? Why do I go to school every day? Why do I go to work every day? Why was I born in this family that has lots of struggles and problems? Why did mom and dad get divorced? Why did mom and dad get involved in drugs? And we have all these questions in our hearts about what our purpose is. I want you to know this morning, each and every one of us, adults to young people, that your life matters. God designed you for His purposes. But we have to go back to the beginning to find out what really is our purpose. And I know sometimes it can be cliche when we talk about it in the church. What is your purpose? Well, our purpose is just to serve God. But what does that really mean? What does that look like? What did God plan from the beginning? Number one, as we look in our passage, let's go to Genesis chapter 2. And I want to begin by reading in verse 27. Chapter 1. Verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. First of all, what I want to point out is that God made me and He made you to be in relationship with Him. Otherwise, He wouldn't have made us in His image. In other words, we're in His very likeness, which means that we are relational kind of people. Now, what it would be like if your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend or your mother or father were just like a robot. Now, you know, I joke around sometimes with Siri and Tanya says, what are you doing? You know, I say, Siri, do you love me? And she says all kinds of weird responses. She never really says yes. But even if she does, it doesn't mean anything because she's a robot. You know, imagine if we were all robots and we're like, I love you. I was programmed to say that. We're not. God made us to be relational. He reaches down and touches our lives. And we reflect the Trinity. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How does that play out in creation? You have male and female and you have children. That's three things that form the family unit. And the reason why I believe that is important as we look at the book of Genesis when God created the world is that He made us to spread His glory and fame around the earth. And the way we do that is by multiplying like rabbits. Means we raise our children in the Lord. We do the right thing. We get married and we have kids. And if we don't get married and we're single, we invest in other people's lives in the church because we're family. Also, God gave us a mind to think with and emotions and will. And also, we're comprised of body, soul, and spirit. And I'm not going to get into detail of that right now. But we're relational beings because we have a mind. We can think and process things. We don't have to be programmed to think a certain way. I mean, just think about how integrant and how wonderful the brain is when God made us in His image. He said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. He created us. So we're not robots. We can think and process. Not only do we have a mind, we have a will. Now, I used to have a bird feeder on the back, but now we have a cat who loves to just lounge and around underneath that bird feeder. Now, for a while, the birds were kind of dumb. They were eating the cat's food, so I put the cat food back there, and so he's like, all right, that looks like more tasty dinner than those little round things. And cats and animals run by instinct. They don't have a conscience. They don't know and feel bad that they killed the poor little birdie. But you and I do. We have the possibility to make real choices that matter. We can think about right and wrong and good and evil as humans. We can make real choices. Not only that, but we're relational beings because we have emotions and we're not machines. We can feel and experience. As great as those virtual reality things are and all the things on a computer, it's still nothing beats the real thing of standing on top of the mountain and looking over the valley and looking at the waterfall. I can have it in my virtual reality, but it's not the same as being there and experiencing the smells and hearing the sounds and getting splashed by the water that comes down to the waterfall. God made us to experience life. Aren't you glad for that? That's a great purpose that He made us for. And we are extremely valuable to God. In fact, we're more valuable than all the gold in the earth. Now, I would like to have this little stockpile of gold here, wouldn't you? But God owns all the gold in the earth, but yet He created you and me. That tells me how important each of us really are. In fact, we're made in such great detail. And that scripture I read this morning and found, and if you want to turn there as we look through some of it, Psalms 139, keep your place in Genesis. But Psalms 139, I mean, I love this whole thing. I mean, verses 1 through 4 talks about how God knows everything about us. Have you ever sat in your room or sat out just staring, really depressed and down and saying, I wish somebody would just come and get to know me? Or I really wish that so-and-so would understand me from the inside out. We've all probably had times like that, but it says that God's familiar with all our ways. He knows when you brush your teeth. He knows all your quirks and all the weird things you do when nobody's looking. He sees when we pick our noses, and don't think that you don't do, although you look dignified sitting here this morning. He sees everything. He's familiar with how every little aspect, what we love and what we dislike, He knows about you and I. In fact, when Jesus was talking, He said, I even know the number of hairs on your head. That's an amazing thing. Some of us don't have as much hair as others, but there's still a lot, too much to count. How about skin cells that brush off when I scratch my arm? If you could only see with a microscope, we'd probably be grossed out. You know, there's skin cells flying everywhere in the atmosphere. It's what we call dust. But God knows how many skin cells we have when we lose it. When we brush up against something, He knows us very well. And then the next few verses talks about how God is always with us. And the fact is that He wants to be with us. He says, you hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. And then I love this part because we're made with such great detail. We're made with such great detail from the inside out. In fact, that word means in the Bible, it says, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. It means to cover or to weave together. Now, when we first start weaving something, is there any weavers or knitters in here? Anybody know how to knit? Okay, well, there's one, two. My wife sits and does these little things that I don't know, in and out and in and out. And it doesn't look like much. It's just a ball of yarn. But then when it's done, it's a blanket or a towel. Or she likes to make little washcloths and that. And they work really good to scrub the pans. But it didn't before with just that ball of yarn. It's just the way she wove it together. You might think that your life doesn't matter or doesn't count right now. It may not seem like But God is weaving you together. He started when you were in your mom's belly, when you were being formed. He made you so unique. He knitted you together in your mom's womb. We're made with such detail. In fact, look in verse 16 of Psalms 139. It says, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book there was written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." You see, God didn't just make you and throw you in the earth and say, "See you later." In fact, David recognized even before he was born and formed, God had this huge book, if you will, and every day of our lives is written in it. And everything that happens is for a reason and for a purpose. Unfortunately, we live in a sinful world and bad things happen to us because of evil and sin being in the world. But God has a detailed plan. Not just for college and getting out, but right now, today. Every single one of your days has reason, has purpose, because God formed you and He made us with such detail. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Have you ever thought about that? You know, I worry a lot. I'm a little bit of a worrier about some things. I fret about stuff. I get discouraged about stuff. But God's already written the big book, and it's for my good because He loves me, and it's going to work out. And if I'm in sin and I'm walking away, God is going to convict. God's going to bring me. Sometimes we take the long road through the weaving process. But He who begins a good work in you will be faithful to complete it, because He's a God that has a detailed plan for our lives. Over and over in the Proverbs it says, you know, we plan, we make plans, but the reply comes from the Lord. The purpose of the Lord is difficult for us to understand, but God does that because He gives us the thrill of knowing Him. He says, "How precious are your thoughts." I mean, I can't even fathom. And this is right after that book thing. You know, every day of my life is written in your book. And then he goes on to say, "How precious to me are your thoughts. How vast are the sum of them. If I would count them, they're more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you." That's an amazing thing, isn't it? That we're made with such great detail that God gives us this journey, this thrill of knowing Him. I cannot always figure out God's purposes for my life, but I can seek Him. I may not know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I can love Him. I may not know what is coming down the pike or what's on page 562 in the book that God has planned for me, but I can choose to love Him and follow Him and rejoice that, wow, the mysteries of God just blows my mind. Why did you allow that, God? Instead of being discouraged, thank God, I don't know, but I know that you're doing something for my good, because I'm made in your image and your Son came and died for me and I have life. And then he ends his psalm by saying, "Lord, search me on the inside out." And God searches us. And why does He search us? Defined the things, the defects, the flaws that are in our own weaving. Sometimes God's doing His weaving. Have you ever done that? And I'd get into extreme trouble if I were to, while the midst of Tanya's making one of her little washcloths, I would just kind of stick my hand and say, "Why don't you take the needle through this way?" It wouldn't go over very well. Have you ever heard of a doghouse? I'd be kicked out of the house probably. Not really. But she might come after me. That's what we do with God. God is weaving this intricate thing in our lives. And we say, "God, you know, you're not doing this right. Let me take the little weaving thing and let me stick my own thread in there." And then because we stick that thread in there, it rips apart. God says, "Okay, I'm searching your heart. I know your ways. I'll forgive you. Let me just take that thread out. It's going to hurt to remove that thread. And I'm going to put the thread that was meant to be in there in your life." Number two, as we go back to Genesis now, We're created by God not only to enjoy a relationship with Him and other people, but we're created by God to live productive lives on the earth. He says in verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" Now that would be dull and boring and dry. Imagine if God just created us and said, "Okay, you can just kind of sit around and do nothing." Even before the curse, even before the fall came on the earth, what was Adam doing? He was working in the garden. God made him productive. God has called us to be fruitful and to multiply. And what does that mean? It means that we're going to grow, to become more like Christ as Christian families, to spread God's rule on the earth. And you know, a lot of cults and a lot of false religions around the world have understood this concept. In fact, I'm not going to name the religion, but there's a certain religion that moves into countries and they said, "Let's have as many children as we possibly can, and pretty soon we'll be able to institute our law in this country. We'll be in the majority. We'll be in to institute our ways." There's a lot of religions to get that, but that's God's plan for us as followers of Him as the one true God. If we realize the importance of growing in our relationship with God and that we're to spread His rule on the earth by raising Christian families. Or if we don't have families of our own, we invest in God's family, the church, to draw people to grow closer to Jesus Christ. He says, "Be fruitful and multiply." And then He says to subdue the earth. And that's a strong word, but in the end it really means that we care for it. In other words, we put it under our subjection. We make it subservient. We literally to tread under our feet. In other words, we care for and protect its resources. And we remember that the earth is here for us, not us for the earth. So we don't worship the things of the earth or the earth. It's for us to subdue or to care for and take care of. There's a lot of talk today about going green, and that's all the focus is for some people. But let me tell you something. If you're a follower of God and of Jesus Christ, our purpose is to preserve the earth. You know, so when we throw trash out the window and things like that, we're not being good stewards of what God gave us to do and the purpose that He's given us on the earth. And when we don't care about things like that, and we just dismiss it and we just say, "Oh yeah, just cut all the trees down." What's going to happen in the future with that? Now, we know God ultimately has a plan, but He's given us that job to subdue the earth. And then He says this word, which is to have dominion. Do you know that you guys, as young people and old, were to have dominion on the earth, which means we're responsible for ruling on God's behalf in history, so that history comes under God's rule. How we live, how we talk at school and at home, how we respect our families and our parents, it makes a difference how we spread God's rule on the earth. Have dominion. So how do we live these productive lives on the earth? Now, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit in the chapter and just highlight some things. But first of all, in Genesis 2:15, we find that God gave Adam a home. So these are the very basic things of life. He establishes a home. We're to establish a home. It could be a trailer in a trailer park. It could be a shack with a mud roof. It doesn't matter. But we create homes and a place to live. Then, God's purpose is to get a job. And you wonder why a lot of people are so discouraged and depressed and down in today's society? Because they sit on couches munching on potato chips off of government money. And the Bible says to get a job. Get a job. This is our purpose. This is our purpose. So young people, don't ever forget that. I've seen people with great injuries do some great works. I've seen people that have been in wheelchairs and paralyzed. They didn't settle to just sit and do nothing with their lives. They worked and they found joy and fulfillment in that because God created us for that. So you're not going to be happy if you don't follow God's plan. And then he gave Adam commandments. He said, don't eat from this tree, a certain tree. And that tree, excuse me, represents knowledge of good and evil. It was information independent of God. In other words, I'm going to do my own thing apart from God is what it was. So God has given us His Word, which is basically a manual to tell us how we're supposed to operate. And so what happens if I drive my Dodge truck into the Kanawha River? What's going to happen? It doesn't flow. That's the simple, coming from an engineer, right? It was not made for the water. It was not made to be a boat, it was made to be a car. And when God formed us and made us, He made us to operate according to what the specifications of this manual are. And when we step outside of that, we end up in a whole world of mess, of trouble. We weave the threads in and we kind of add into God's manual or we take away from it. And things really get messed up. And so if you want to know your purpose, your reality of why you're here, what God has done in your life, it's to live by His manual. And then the last thing, God gave Adam responsibility and authority over the animals. He wanted him to name the animals. But what is responsibility? It's being in control of our own behavior. It's being trusted with important jobs that God gives us. It's having our work finished on time and doing our part when working together. And to think that God has made you and I responsible to have dominion over this whole earth, do we really have time to sit down and say, well, so-and-so doesn't like me, or I have this bad circumstance in my life, and believe me, I've done it many times. Woe is me. But God says, I've given you an important task. Will you rise to the occasion to be responsible to do it? Number three, we're created by God to enjoy the resources of the earth. As we read on, he says, God says, behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I've given every green plant for food. And it was so. So God made natural resources for us to eat, to enjoy the sources of the earth. That means, okay, I can sit around and be depressed, or I could use my mind, will, and emotions to take what God has made and invent something and be creative with something. This is the height of humanity made in God's image. If you would look throughout history, what brought us out of the Dark Ages? What caused the uprising of beautiful music and art? It was the revival of the Word of God. It was the dignity of the human being saved by grace that brought us out of the Dark Ages and into the Renaissance. And at that time, the church, the people of God, were the leaders in creating things and inventing things. That's God's powerful purpose. The best music should come from God's people. The best inventions come from us using our creative mind to worship God and glorify Him with everything that we have. And now, God gave us food. We had devoted two, three verses there to food. That was a pretty important thing to us. And we joke about that, but when we get together as Christians, it always seems to be around food. But thank God He gave us food. But I want you to know that God gave us everything for our enjoyment. But this scripture says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty nor to set their hopes on uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. So there's some truth here that we need to look at. God gave us food to enjoy. But what happens when I'm eating too much food? I have the development of a TV tray. But what happens if I focus too much on the things that God has given me? It could be money, it could be a sport, it could be a car, it could be an iPad, it could be an iPhone, it could be a guitar. See, what happens is that we start to enjoy things apart from God. And He says, don't put your trust in any of things. Make sure that your hope is in God, and then you can enjoy all those things. And you know, some of the most unhappy people, and I've read different accounts and stories, people that win the lottery become the most miserable people because they're enjoying things that God meant for us to enjoy, but not apart from Him. Not disconnected from Him. And so, the overall purpose God created us for is, somebody know, if we were to sum it all up today, what did God make us for? Why are we here? It's to glorify Him. It's to worship Him. And when we miss this aspect of worship, when we make other things, put them on a pedestal and apart from God, that's what we call idolatry. But I want to talk to you about it's to enjoy pleasing God and glorifying Him forever. You know, I don't know about you, but this morning when we were singing these songs and when I was listening to you give your testimonies, it brought joy to my heart. It brought joy to see that a sister's battling and struggling, but she's hanging on to the Scripture and shared a Scripture that blessed my soul today. You know, God created us to please Him and to glorify Him forever, but it's an enjoyable thing. What it means to glorify God, it means to have an opinion of, or in other words, a high opinion of. It means to praise or celebrate. Some of us can do with some celebration. We don't need to. And you know, I think David says, he gives that command, clap your hands on all you people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Sometimes we just need to obey God and do it, because when we do that, we engage our emotions with what really matters. Is that we shout to the Lord, that we praise the Lord, that we exalt Him with everything that we have. That's what it means to glorify God. But it gets much deeper than that. It means to make glorious or to clothe with splendor. Well, how do I put God's clothes on? How do I make Him look glorious, so to speak? He's already glorious without me making Him look glorious, but other people can't see Him, so God has given me the task to point others to God, to make renown, to cause dignity and worth of some person. And so, in other words, it means to put the greatness and worth of God on display by living your life to please Him. Now, how many people at your work see God's greatness and glory? Not a lot of people that don't have Christ don't see it. But what they can see is you and me putting it on display. So if you want to sum it all up into this one thing, we're made. You say, what is my purpose? My purpose is to put God's on display on the earth. To spread His glory around. To please Him with my life, with everything that I have. And we'll never enjoy our purpose unless our hope is set on this God who is good. Remember that scripture? Don't set your hope on the uncertainty of riches, but God. God is pleased with our worship. Now, I want you to notice something back in Genesis, and you can do your own study. God made the animals, the earth and the sky and the moon and everything that you can think of. And He said it was good. It's just good. But when He made us in His image, He said, in our text, you can look it up, He said it was very good. You are very good to God. In other words, He takes delight in the fact that we give Him glory and that we give Him worship in our lives. Listen to these scriptures. Now, let's wind this down now. Let me tell you this, don't let the world, don't let kids at school, don't let co-workers tell you that you are less than very good. And as a matter of fact, don't worry anything about what people say, because we're not here to please people. But worry about what God says. He says in 1 Corinthians 10, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Is worship just singing a song in church on Sunday morning? Is it running around, jumping up and down? Well, that's part of it, because that's how I release my emotions in worship to God. But it is how I talk to people at school or at work. It is how I treat my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's how I treat my own family. Is it according to the manual or not according to the manual? That is worship, and that is the heart of worship. It's how we live our lives. It's how we do a job. If I were to ask somebody to come up here, why don't you straighten up these stands? And we've all done this as teenagers, and we've seen our teenagers do that. It's done. But the truth is, that's how a lot of us live our Christian life. Don't you think? We give our leftovers to God, but we're made to glorify God. We should be, I'm doing this for God. I'm not doing this for the church or for mom or for dad. I'm doing this for God Almighty. I'm going to make sure it's straight. I'm going to make sure I do a good job. I'm going to work hard until the job is done and completed, because I'm not doing this for mom and dad. I'm not doing it for my friends at school. I'm doing it for God. Doing it for Him. This is our purpose for Him. He says, He's given us mercy in Ephesians for the praise of His glory. He says we're created by grace, we're saved to be His workmanship. And on the Scriptures go, and you can read those from your notes. But there is the church formed what's called a catechism to teach people the basics of the gospel. And this is the very first question in the Westminster Catechism. And young people and adults, I want to encourage you, have this memorized. There's lots of questions in the Westminster, but if you'd ever memorize this one, what is man's primary purpose? And the answer is, in the response, man's primary purpose is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. We will never enjoy anything unless we're worshiping our source. We're made for God. And we don't have to worry about what others think. How about even how you play your sports? Are you doing it for your coach? You doing it for God? How about music? The kind of music that we fill our minds with, is it for the glorification of God, or is it just because it's something I like and it might be a little bit trashy? That changes our whole outlook on life, doesn't it? If I sit down, I sit down for God. If I stand up, I stand up for God. If I eat, I eat for God. If I set the table for mom and dad, I'm doing it for God. If I am going to work and I have a tough boss, as our sister shared this morning, I'm not working for them, or I'm not working for these other co-workers. I'm working for God. That's how the kingdom of God is expanded. Christians expand in the kingdom of God by being a servant of the Lord. Who cares what other people think or say if we're doing it for God? Who cares if the results are not how we think it should be or how the world tells us it should be? If we're doing our best for God, that's our purpose. That's what we're called to do. And there are people that might think that we didn't do a good job or we didn't do our best, but that's okay. We did our best. We're not working for those other people. We're working for God. This should be the cry of our hearts. And listen carefully to these words. In fact, if you can see the screen well enough, I know it's a little distorted there, but Read that with me. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Your purpose is to make Him your portion. And I love the book of Ecclesiastes, and we touched on this last week. Because remember the whole thing of I get up and I do the same thing every day. This gets kind of monotonous kind of deal. Ecclesiastes talks about that in chapter 2. He says, this I saw from the hand of God, for apart from Him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases Him, God has given wisdom, knowledge, and joy. So there's the answer. Solomon had all the riches in the world. Would you like to have all the riches in the world? He had it all. He had everything. But then he concluded, apart from God, it means nothing. And here's how he ended the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, this is the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, every secret thing, whether good or evil. So I want everybody to look up here. Would you like that in your bedroom or your backyard? Some of you might say some of my kids' bedrooms look like that. Or dad's den looks like that. Or mom's kitchen might look like that. Stop thinking to yourself that you are worthless, that you are garbage. Because you have a high and holy calling and a purpose. God made you for Himself. Start living for the purpose you were created to serve Him. God has called us to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. Now I want you to just come before the Lord right now as the worship team comes. If you're here this morning and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, Jesus says, and has proclaimed His gospel by His life, He came and died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the grave. And if we put our trust in what He's done, it's a free gift. We'll be saved. We'll have eternal life. But if you're here today, maybe even as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a Christian, and you haven't really been, you've kind of missed out on your purpose. You kind of forgot about the purpose that God made you as clay, formed you for His purposes. We are, in fact, clay in the potter's hands. Will you let Him today take you and shape you? Father, as we come into Your presence, we confess, Lord, that we have even called ourselves in our minds garbage or no good or worthless. I wish I would have never been born. But Lord, as we looked at Your Word, You love us. You created us in such detail. We thank You for that. We thank You that we're made for Your glory. We're made to show Your glory on the earth. And I pray that all over this room today, no matter what we do, whatever we're eating or drinking or working or playing, that we would do it for this purpose alone, to give You worship. I just want to ask you this morning, if you're here today and you've never received Jesus, I just want you to just lift up your hand real quickly this morning. That's you today. You've never received Jesus. And also, if you're here today and you say, you know what? I thank God for my purpose. I want to celebrate that. I want to invite you to stand, everybody, this morning as we sing this song.